So, good morning. I'd like to talk about free movement of labour in the European Union. Madam Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, in the ill-fated referendum on EU membership, a major theme was taking back control. And taking back control in one particular respect, not to be swamped anymore by foreign immigrants from the rest of the European Union. Now, I'd like to examine the question of migration in the European Union and examine what the benefits and drawbacks are for the various parties concerned. Let's look first at the individuals themselves who go and work in a different country. Obviously, they have an opportunity to increase their earnings and to send money home, and they can also acquire new skills. They can acquire language skills, for example. I hope that one day I shall be able to recruit young interpreters from the Polish and Latvian diaspora in the United Kingdom or elsewhere. Who knows? A second benefit accrues to the region from which the immigrants come. These regions, such as the east of Poland, are often relatively poor and backward. And so if people leave these regions, unemployment goes down, and if the immigrants then return to the region of origin, they may have money to spend, and they may be able to set up a company and create jobs. The one drawback is if they do not come back, if these young, enterprising, skilled people never return to their region of origin, that constitutes a brain drain, and the local economy will stagnate if only old people are left in these villages and small towns. But the impressive growth rates of the Baltic states show that this phenomenon has not happened on a massive scale. Thirdly, let me consider the benefits for the host country. I've talked about the individuals, I've talked about the regions they come from. Let me now concentrate on the host country, because this is the most contentious aspect. We all know that in Europe, there are fears of what's called social dumping, that immigrants will take jobs away from the natives because they're prepared to work more cheaply. Well, this fear of social dumping is overdrawn, it's exaggerated, because in all our countries, there are minimum wages, either statutory minimum wages laid down by the state or minimum wages laid down as a result of collective bargaining. And only illegal immigrants can undercut these minimum wages. Admittedly, the supply of labor is increased if you have immigrants arriving. And if the demand for labor is static and there's more supply, then obviously wages will tend to be more depressed. But that statement, true though it is, has to be qualified. Workers are not interchangeable. Immigrants may remedy shortages of certain skills, skills which may not be sufficiently available locally. And there are some vacancies which will never be filled by a sufficient number of native workers. For example, old people's homes in Austria would probably have to close were it not for an abundant supply of workers from Slovakia and other countries. And workers are also consumers. Polish and Latvian workers in the United Kingdom also consume, frugal though they may be. They buy goods and services locally. And lastly, it's a mistake to believe that in any economy, the amount of work is fixed. This is the so-called lump of labor fallacy. The amount of work in an economy is not fixed. There is no limit, potentially, to how many jobs can be created. So I've attempted to examine the benefits and drawbacks for the various parties concerned. Let me conclude by saying that the problem is not essentially one of economic analysis. The problem has to do with people's hearts and minds. And it's very difficult to persuade people that a certain phenomenon is economically beneficial if they feel threatened by an influx of foreigners. And people are very illogical. I know older people who say, well, my Polish neighbor is charming and my Slovak gardener is excellent, but there are too many foreigners. What do you do with such attitudes? Thank you.